Pray that you continue to pray the Lord will bless our service together. If you'd like to turn with us this morning, we're going to be in Psalm 116. Psalm 116. While you're turning to that, I got two questions for you. Do you love the Lord? Why? That's some good answers. Good answers. All right. Psalm 116. We'll just read the first two verses to begin. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Do you feel like the Lord's ever heard one of your prayers?
Many times.
Isn't that wonderful? We don't know who wrote this psalm. It's not listed as a psalm of David. Not even real sure about the occasion. There's a lot of speculation as to what the occasion is. The lesson's still the same. Regardless of the occasion, regardless of who wrote it, God inspired it. It's the truth, and we can rejoice in it today because we can relate to what the psalmist is saying. The psalmist said, I love the Lord because he hath heard my cry, my voice, and my supplication. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Stop and think about that for just a moment. Are you worthy that God would listen to you? That's the amazing part of grace, isn't it? That God would have mercy upon somebody like me. Now, I understand why he would listen to you, but I don't understand. I really don't. I rejoice in it. I accept the truth of it. And I experience it, and I rejoice in it, but I don't understand why God would listen to somebody like me. But he does. Isn't that wonderful? Now, you know, it's nice when you've got somebody in a place of authority that you can go to when you have a need and you want to need some help, and they'll listen to you and they'll do something about it. That's nice, isn't it? As a matter of fact, that can be really good. But we're talking about God, who is above all, who is able to do all things. It's according to his will. God hears our cries. Isn't that wonderful? Just let that soak in for just a second. God would hear our voice and our supplications. The things that we've asked him for. The things that that's so heavy upon our heart. The things that are such a trial in our life. That God would be merciful enough to take the time to listen to us. Doesn't it just blow your mind to think of how many of God's people are calling upon him at one time? I mean, you know, our little congregation, our little flock here, I can just stop and just go through the list. And I tell you, it is just tremendous what we're going through. I have never seen a time in my life when the people that I knew had so many problems that they were facing, so many challenges that they have to deal with every day. I've never seen that. I'm sure it's been that way. I'm sure there's been times and places where it's been that way. But it just seems like there's so many challenges to life. If we didn't have the Lord that we could go to and pour out our heart, I tell you, it would be tougher than it is, wouldn't it? But we don't have to worry about that. God is upon his throne. He is all powerful. He hears every prayer, and he is able to answer it in the way that's needed. We've got help. I love the Lord because you could just stop right there. And I've used this before in this way. Just stop right there. I love the Lord because. And you could fill in the blank. And you could spend a lot of time filling in the blanks, can't you? Because he is so much to all of us. I love the Lord because. But the important thing is that we love the Lord. Now, we understand that we love him. As you answered, many of you did, when I asked the question, do you love the Lord? Why? And the scripture plainly tells us in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Now, there's a lot in that. But we don't love him just because we've received the blessings, not just because. But I'm going to tell you, that's a wonderful reason. All right, and we'll get to that a little bit later, Lord willing. Taking that thought, I love the Lord because, and we'll get back to what he said about because he's heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear unto me. The fact that God would hear our prayers and that he would do something about it is amazing. And the reason we have that desire to call upon him is because he has done something for us. We love him because he first loved us. In his love, he showed mercy and sent his Spirit into our heart and quickened us from a death in sins to a life in Christ that we might know him. Isn't that wonderful? That's enough to praise him for the rest of your days. That he has blessed you to know him. Because that Spirit within us teaches us perfectly. Now it doesn't, you're not going to start quoting book, chapter, and verse from the Bible. But bless your hearts, that Spirit is perfect and it perfectly reveals to us those things which God would be pleased to give us that we might serve him better. All right? So the fact that we know him is evidence that he's been gracious to us, that he has caused us to be born again of his Spirit and have the spiritual faculties to know him and to begin to learn more about him. And isn't that our job as a disciple? To learn more about him? Sometimes we sing that song, more about Jesus would I know. More of his grace to others show. Oh, to learn more about him. The more we know him, and that's not just a one-time thing, is it? That's a lifelong pursuit. Even the Apostle Paul spoke about that in Philippians chapter 2 or 3, where it says that I may know him, and he went on to express the things that he wanted to know, all right? Must be 3. Yeah. Yeah. 3:9. I'm sorry. 3:10. That I may know him. All right. Philippians chapter 3. Paul said, the Apostle Paul now, with all the experiences that he had had, with all the abundance of revelation that God had given to him. If you remember, that's why God gave him that thorn in the flesh, right? He said, lest I should be exalted through the abundance of revelation, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. I'm satisfied. One way or another, the Lord gives each of us one of those thorns. So we don't think too highly of ourselves. Sometimes we do that, don't we? But Paul said there in Philippians 3, that I may know him. So Paul already knew the Lord, right? I mean, he knew him intimately. You just read the scriptures. Paul was blessed to write more of the New Testament than anybody else. Surely he knew the Lord, and he knew the Lord wonderfully. But he still had the desire to know more. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Listen, we know about the resurrection, don't we? We rejoice in the resurrection. We rejoice in what we know about the resurrection. But we want to know more about the power of it. Oh, the power, God's power that he exercised when he raised Christ from the dead. It's the same power, by the way, that he exercises in us when he raises us from a death in sin to a life in Christ, to know him and to have the desire to know him better. Back in Philippians chapter 2, he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so as we go about in this world, whatever pursuits we have, it ought to be done while we have that desire to know more about him every day. And what better way can we know him better if we have the desire to do so? What better way can we do that than by reading his word? Right? We need it. Can you think of any other reason why God would use such power, not only to inspire his word, not only to have it pinned down to where it's inerrant and have it preserved for us even unto this good hour? God is doing that for us. It's because we is so vital to our everyday life to instruct us and to remind us and to teach us, being guided and aided by the Holy Spirit, but to teach us more about him. Paul had that desire that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. Fellowship. Now his sufferings were done. Whether we know anything about it or not, he endured all of those sufferings for us. But Paul wanted to know something about the fellowship of those sufferings. In other words, as he went about serving the Lord, and there were times when he had to suffer, when he did, he was simply having fellowship with the sufferings of Christ. Suffering for the same cause. Suffering out of the same love. Suffering before the same God who is able to keep us. And the more we have to suffer in righteousness and for righteousness' sake, the more we feel the presence and the power of the Lord in our life. And I'll tell you something, we need that. And this day, we need that tremendously. Because there's such a falling away. There's such a manifestation of the fact that because of the love of many shall wax cold. All right? It's happening all around us, isn't it? It might be happening to us. Oh, how we need to draw nigh unto God. Hold on to him and learn of him. So being born again We're blessed to know him, and he gives us that desire to know more about him. Okay? Now, I love the Lord because, let's think about just the Lord and some of the reasons why we would love. First of all, because of who he is, the perfections of God. Don't you enjoy thinking about that? His goodness. Oh, I love to think about the goodness of God, don't you? His mercy. Where would we be without the mercy of God? We wouldn't have him. We'd still be in our sins. We'd be separated from God, and it would stay that way eternally. And even when we come to the last here upon this life, in this world, we would be banished from his presence into the lake of fire forever. Aren't you thankful for the mercy of God? God who is rich in mercy, Ephesians 2 and 4. God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. God who is rich in mercy has done that for us. Just think about it. The goodness of God, the mercy of God, the fact that he's eternal. He'll always be that way. God can't change. If he changed, he'd cease to be perfect in some way. He's perfect in every way. And all of the things about God and his perfections, the attributes of God, all of them are holy. Even the wrath of God is holy because he's right in the way he administers it, and he's right for the reasons that he gives it. The holiness of God. We would do well every day we live to think about the holiness of God, the perfections of our God. You see, the more we know about him, the more the child of grace will love him. We know more about how good and how merciful and how gracious he is, the more we'll grow in our love for him. Okay? And we need that, don't we? Every day we live, we need that. All right, so I didn't go over all the perfections of God or the attributes. Not my intent to try to give you a complete list here. But just think about the love of God, the mercy of God, the fact that he's eternal, the fact that he's all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere present. And think about all that God is. Isn't that reason to love him? Isn't that ample reason to love him? You know, I've said before, I think I said just recently, you know, there's people in this world that if they had a little bit of power, I'd really be fearful. But God has all power, and I don't have to fear how he'll use that power. Because, not just because I know he's all powerful and I don't fear that, but because of the other things that I know about God, about his mercy, about what he has purposed to do for his people, when you understand more and more about that, we can love an all-powerful God, and while we fear and reverence him in his presence, we don't have to fear what he would do to us. Oh, as we think about it, there's so many reasons to worship and adore and love our God. Not only for his perfections, but for his works. Isn't creation amazing? It's amazing. The vastness of this creation. We've not even, all we know is our little world, and there's things about our little world we don't know. And it's just so vast. Just the natural creation. Something else that's amazing is the new creation that he has wrought in us. I already talked about being born again, regeneration. That's a new creation, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 5, 17. For if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's how we can know God. That's how we can love God. Because we understand having His Spirit, we have something to guide us and to open our hearts and minds to the things of God. And the more we know about Him, who He is and His perfections, and the more we know about His works, His mighty works. And I'm telling you, even regeneration is a mighty work, isn't it? Because I mentioned the fact that same power that it took to raise Jesus from the tomb is the same power that raises us from a death in sins to a life in Christ. It makes us that new creature in Christ. And so the works of God, not only the natural creation, but the spiritual. And when we understand the purpose of God and all that He has done in unfolding this purpose and accomplishing His purposes, I tell you, that's a whole lot there for us to worship God for, isn't it? Whole lot for us to love the Lord because of what He's done for us. And all of it, briefly stated, is His love for us. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. That's one of His works, isn't it? But long before He gave, He purposed it. As a matter of fact, Acts 15:18 says, known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. I tell you, it just really gets next to me when I hear somebody in the religious world talking about, you know, Jesus was a plan B or an afterthought because man messed up what God did the first time and Jesus had to do something, God had to do something to fix it. No, the Word of God says God purposed to do that from the foundation of the world. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. And so when Jesus was sent by the Father to save His people from their sins, it was simply according to God's purpose. Can't you rejoice in that? Doesn't that cause us to love Him more when we remember? You know, known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. He also says, Isaiah 46, you know, He says, I'm God, there's none like me, I'm God, there's none else. I'm God and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. Now that's not saying he predestinated everything. He simply knew what it was going to be. Okay, the end from the beginning. My point is, God knows everything's going to happen. He knows everything you will have or you know, everything you have, everything you are, and everything you will do. He knows it. And He saved us anyway. Isn't that amazing? That's love, isn't it? You know something about that. When somebody you love, whether it's a child or a sibling or whoever, when they get on the wrong path, and it's heavy, isn't it? It's hard. But you don't give up. Why? Because you love them. And God's love is more perfect than we'll ever know. This side of glory. We cannot be separated from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that amazing? That we cannot be separated from His love. Does that cause you to have more loving thoughts toward Him? That He would be so merciful and so gracious and so loving to you that He has done for you something that for which you will never be separated from His love? Oh, think about it. Not only His perfections that we adore and we praise Him for, but His works that He has done. And especially in sending His Son into this world. Oh, we can rejoice. And that to me, as I understand the scriptures, that John 3:16 is the greatest declaration of God's love that you'll find in all the scriptures. And while many in the religious world think that that's an offer of salvation, it is a declaration of what God did for us, because he purposed to do that from the foundation of the world. God so loved. When we think about how much God loved us, that he would do that. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans chapter 8. God so loved the world. And the context teaches us that that world is those Jesus came to save. The world. That world. That he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth, finds himself with the capacity to believe. Not that you decide something and you decide you're going to believe. Bless your heart, you're born of the Spirit of God. You have the Spirit working within your heart. You have the will to do. He works in us both to will and to do. You have that in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So when we think about the works, and especially the work of sending his son into this world, and all that Jesus accomplished for us. Yes, he was our example as he went through his ministry. And there's much about that we need to read about. We need to memorize it. We need to apply it to our lives and follow his example. Because when Peter spoke about how that he leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, the original language, the word that was used for that word in our English as example, it's the only time in the New Testament that word was used. And the reason is, when we try to give a good example, we do the best we can and we give the best example we can, but it's not perfect. But the example Jesus gave us is perfect. Isn't that amazing? He gave us the perfect example. No, it doesn't come short in any facet. And so we look to this word. We try to understand what we're to do and follow the best we can his example. But that greatest work of sending his son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They're going to live with God because of what he has done through his son. I'd say that's the greatest work, wouldn't you? The greatest blessing we have, the greatest reason we have to love him in return is because of the great love that has been manifested toward us. And the more we know about that, the more we love him and the more we follow his example. You know, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So the more we show our love to him, the more we'll grow in our love for him. So, what he's done for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We quoted John 3:16. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, we pointed out the fact that John 3:16 is not an offer, but it is a declaration. Paul puts it differently in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but he says it this way. Now, he's been talking about how God does his works and what he's done for us, but in verse 29,
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. The way God has saved us from our sins and the way God has chosen to go about it in some respects may seem strange to the world, but it's because that no flesh should glory in his presence. We have nothing of which we can glory. God has done it all for us in saving us from our sins. Our job is to show our love to him in thanksgiving and gratitude for what he has done. Because no flesh can glory. You know, as we said many times, God's generous with his grace, but he's stingy with his glory. He'll not share his glory with another. This wonderful work of salvation, he did that for us. Listen to what he says. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But of him, how is it that you're in Christ? How is it that you're saved? How is it that you've come to know him? It's of him. All right? When he chooses to cause us to be born of his spirit, when he chooses to bless us with those spiritual faculties, that's an evidence or manifestation of the fact that we are one of those he has chosen before the foundation of the world. All right? So of him. Don't rush over that little part right there. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Jesus was sent to save his people from their sins. Jesus knew when he came to this earth who it was that he would save from their sins. Paul would tell Timothy, nevertheless, 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. That was written 2,000 years ago. Many of his people had not been born yet. And as this world stands much longer, than we can say many of his children are still not yet born. But he already knew that. Foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And so, those who are his are those who have benefited and will benefit from the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. Now, God sent his son to save us from our sins. Sent his son to be this perfect sacrifice for our sins. Sent him to redeem us unto him. That is to make peace or to reconcile. To reconcile us unto him, making peace between us and God. Jesus did that for us. And when he did that, he's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. All of these wonderful things we have in Christ. The more we know about it, the more we can rejoice in it, what he's done for us. Then he goes on to say that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That's what we want to do, is to glory in the Lord. If we're able to do anything that's a praise to him, anything that's a blessing to somebody else, it's because God's had mercy upon us first, given us his spirit. We know something about him, and we're able to do something that would be a blessing to someone else. Boy. We love him because we could spend all day on this, couldn't we? All the reasons, there's so many reasons why we can so graciously and so wonderfully love our God for what he has done for us. Salvation was purposed. Salvation was accomplished through his son. And we're being kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed at the last time. That inheritance is kept for us. We're being kept for it, aren't we? 1 Peter chapter 1, he goes through several verses that speaks of all these glorious things, of what God has done for us through his son, and how he's keeping us for those things. Now, Another verse that speaks of this leads right, well, other, many verses do, I'm sure. But what I'm thinking about at the moment is 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. We love to speak about this when it speaks of the salvation that we have and the effectual calling, that holy calling that we have in the Lord. When Paul said, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Then he goes into the next. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And so the word of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us so much of why it is that we love him and why we should love him more. Teaching us. Like Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The gospel teaches us how to live, how to follow this perfect example Jesus has given to us. And the more we do those things, the more joy we'll find as we do those things, and the more we'll be loving God. Because he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The more we keep his commandments, the more love we're manifesting to him, and the more we'll feel in our hearts. Now, because of that, because he has made himself known unto us, because he's given us eternal life, because we've been blessed to hear the gospel and learn of him, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 11, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Do you know that would be true whether we believed it or not? He has that rest. What he has done for us gives us that rest. He said, come unto me. In other words, even though we have failed him so many times, even though we've come so far short, even though every day we come short, his word tells us, Jesus said, come unto me. Isn't that a reason to love him? Even with our imperfections, for Jesus' sake, because he is our wisdom, because he is our righteousness, because he is our sanctification, because he is our redemption, we can come to him. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you know what he's talking about? Have you felt that in your life? Have you been laboring and heavy laden? Do you know what he means by that? Bless your hearts. When we come to him and find that rest, that's another reason to love him. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Verse 29 Matthew 11, he continues, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The more you read the scriptures and the more you see the admonition and really the commands from our Lord himself to learn of him, the more you understand about that, the more you'll realize that's how we come to love him more. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Take, learn. It says, for I am meek and lowly. See who he is, who he was in his example that he gave us here in this life. For I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find. Take, learn, see, find. You shall find rest. Now, that's the second type of rest in that passage that he's spoken of. The first time he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm sorry, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Just simply by recognizing our need and calling upon the Lord for the relief and the help that we have, just like the psalmist did here in Psalm 116, having that desire within them and calling upon God for the help that we need, there's a rest that he gives us. Isn't that wonderful? But then when we follow him in paths of righteousness, when he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, see what we should be, and you shall find rest. There's more than just what he gives us when we come to him. There's more for us to find all along life's pathway. And just as much as we need to know and see the glory of God and his perfections and the works that God has done for us and rejoice in them, we also need that rest that we can obtain from him every day we live. These bodies have to rest sometimes, don't they? Your soul needs rest too. Your soul needs to be fed from God. Your soul needs to be exercised in godliness. And your soul needs the rest that God can give us when we come to him. Amen. And follow him in paths of righteousness. And really, we've come full circle. That's what he's talking about in this psalm. when he says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. That was a great need. We're not told what that need was. That's okay. It was generic in the way it's described, and that means that we can relate our experience and our needs to this principle and understand that God has mercy upon us, and he hears our supplications, and he inclines unto us. And when he does, we receive rest. Our soul can rest from that great agony or that great concern that we had when we went to God. But he says, come unto me. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. You shall find rest unto your soul. This psalmist found rest in taking his supplications to God. This psalmist found rest in humbling himself before God and begging the Lord for help. God answered his prayer. And that's what we need every day, isn't it? We know what that's like. We know we come short. We know we're not worthy. But God has had mercy upon our souls, and he has blessed us with the things that we stand in need of. We know that we're sinners. We know that we were in need of a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. For there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, what a Savior he is. And he loves us so much that he gave himself for our sins. What are we giving to the Lord in return? That's where the psalm, I don't have time to get into it, but that's where the psalmist went with Psalm 116. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits? Oh, can you answer that in your life, your experience? What can you do? You can take that cup of salvation. The psalmist said back there in verse 2, though, he says, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. This is something that you can enjoy all the days of your life. David in Psalm 23 did say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord on Sunday morning. Well, I hope you can enjoy the presence of the Lord on Sunday morning. But it's forever. Every day. Isn't it wonderful? We don't have to go to Jerusalem. Isn't it wonderful? We don't even have to come to this building to feel and enjoy the presence of God. We don't have to come here to pray. He's given us a temple. He abides in that temple. And he tells us to abide in him. Oh, may God help us to remember how good and how merciful and how gracious and how loving God is. That we might love him more. You know, we do love the Lord. We love him tremendously. But there's still room to grow, isn't it? Just think about somebody here upon the earth that you love dearly. There's still room to grow in love. And even more so in the Lord. The more we think about his goodness and mercy. Now, I'm coming back now to that, and I'll close out with that thought. We don't love him just because he blessed us. When he gave us his spirit, and when he quickened us to know him, and the more we know of him, the more we grow in those reasons why he is worthy of our love and our affection and our everything. But there is some truth to the fact that because he continues to load us daily with benefits, because he continues to give us his providential care and safekeeping, because he has made these promises that he's going to keep, that's even more reason to love him. And there is a sense in which we do love him because of the things he's done for us. So think about those things, brethren. Remember those things. And give him all the praise and honor and glory because he did it of himself by his Son for our blessing. And he deserves the praise. He deserves the glory. That's why he's stingy with his glory, because he deserves it all. Like the brother said, we did all the sinning and he did all the saving. Thankfully, though, by the leadership of his Spirit, we can follow that leadership and we can do good things that bring glory to his name and are a blessing to others and ourselves as well. Oh, but bless your hearts. Think about what he's done for us. Don't let a day pass. Matter of fact, this is the best way to start your day. When your eyes awake in the morning, say, thank you, Lord. Amen. And just start thinking about the reasons why you need to be thanking him. And then as you go through your day, live in a way that shows that you're thankful to God for all that you have and all that you're able to do. Walk in the kingdom. We have our dealings in Caesar's kingdom, but we can walk in the kingdom of God while we're in Caesar's, you know, doing the things in Caesar's kingdom. Because we serve the living God. We serve the one that loved us, gave himself for us, that we might be with him. We don't have to wait until he comes to take us home to be with him. Let's be with him every day. Therefore, will I call upon him as long as I live. May God bless you, is our prayer.